This podcast was specifically created for Distress and Crisis Ontario organizations and their volunteer responders to provide training and educational assistance on a variety of topics. As information evolves and changes, these podcasts are meant to offer ongoing support with the goal of updating them on an ongoing basis. We thank the volunteer responders and the contributors to this podcast. Please visit our website, dcontario.org, for more information and how to access free mental health services. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Brenda, and I'm your host for this week's episode. I am currently a BSW student completing my placement at Distress and Crisis Ontario and a proud African Canadian. In this episode of the Mental Health and Systemic Racism series, I will be interviewing my friend Priscilla about her experience as a Black woman in Canada and the impact of systemic racism in her life. I hope that through these podcasts that they will be a source of education to know about what is going on in our society and what community supports and resources are available. Happy listening. Priscilla, and welcome to today's podcast. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come and chat with me. So could you please tell us about yourself and your social location?
Yeah, of course. Thank you, Brenda. So I am Priscilla, as Brenda mentioned, and I'm a Guinean woman. I grew up in Ghana for several years and moved to Canada for school. I am currently a student doing my Master's of Social Work, but I initially came for kinesiology, so I'm very passionate about fitness and movement, but also community building, and have worked as a community development worker and advocate for a number of years.
Awesome. Thanks for introducing yourself. So, what is your general take on mental health and systemic racism that you want to share?
I think that from my experience, mental health is an extremely stigmatized issue, and especially in racialized community, there's a lot of work that people have done, so we're not as we're a lot farther off now than we used to be, but. Even when I think about back home in Ghana, there are not a lot of conversations about what the different ways that mental health presents itself. And there's always this stigma and people are thrown out of their homes and things like that because of mental health issues and the way that it presents. I remember recently I saw a tweet where that said that Black women don't often recognize that they're struggling with depression or anxiety, so they think they're failing. And I think that that's such a great representation of like how systemic racism has affected our mental health, that it's so ingrained in how things work that as a racialized person, sometimes you just don't see it. You think that you're falling short of what you're supposed to do. And I've been thinking a lot about how to kind of reclaim that and how to take care of yourself and take care of your mental health, like as a form of social justice, and recognizing that in doing that, you're fighting back, like you're going against what the system is expecting you to do. I also heard someone talk about this idea of self-care, the form of social justice, and even looking at the history of how some of these self-care jobs have like perpetrated themselves. So like, you often see racialized people offering self-care. Mm-hmm. So, like, think about Asian nail salons or, like, Black women taking care of white women's kids, mm-hmm. So that they could do their job and so that they could work, like, all of those things. And it's that whole idea that self-care is not for people of color. And so that's kind of the system that we grow up in. That's what the history is. And so it affects us now. Mm-hmm. And it's realizing that that's that way that systemic racism plays out. It's not just like individual attitudes. It's really about how society works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much for shedding light on that. Have you noticed the impact of systemic racism on the community that you work with? And how has COVID played a role?
So I work in a community in North Waterloo. Mm-hmm. And there, in that area, we have people from all backgrounds. Some people who've come into the country as new immigrants or refugees. And then just people who've experienced the impact of generational poverty. Mm-hmm. And you can see, so in the community, there's so often the presence of police or law enforcement officials in the community. And it's just kind of the realization that our space is very over-surveilled. Mm. And there's almost always kind of just an eye out to see what the youth are involved in. And we have some like really, really great people that are part of the community. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we lose sight of that, or they're just seen as like a community that causes trouble, or that a place where trouble can be found. And it's really disheartening to see that happen, because mm-hmm. you know that there are so many people that are working very, very hard to overcome some of those stigmas.
Yeah.
One of our moms recently went back to school. She doesn't have her high school degree, but went back, worked really hard, and is now attending Conestoga College. And she talks about how she has five kids and is a single mom, and so is taking care of her kids, and has had a lot of struggles through that. One of her kids actually has had some trouble with law enforcement, and it's just like there's so much resilience that woman shows. And right now, in doing school at Conestoga College, she talks about the racism that she encounters with her teacher and with her prof.
Wow.
And the way that in that context, she is like disregarded, and her English is made fun of, and just all of these things where it's just so disheartening to see for someone who's working so hard and has worked so hard in a context like in college. She experiences some of this racism too. When you talk about COVID, it reminds me of an incident that we had pretty recently, so in the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when there are a lot of things that the city and the government were doing to care for people and to make sure that people were being safe,
mm-hmm.
We closed a lot of playgrounds and stuff in the city and also in our community. And we had an incident where there's a basketball court, like maybe the only basketball court that's pretty close to the neighborhood at mm-hmm. the time. And the city came and took down the nets
that
were on the court. So basically saying like people can't play. And for at first we thought, okay, maybe, you know, COVID is going around, people are trying to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
So they're taking down the nets. But then we noticed that in other areas in the city, in other communities, basketball nets were still up. People were still allowed to engage in some like outdoor play. And we could see that in other spaces. But for some reason, someone had thought it necessary to come into our community and take down our basketball nets and stop our youth from playing. And, I mean, it wasn't explicitly said, but I mm-hmm. think that things like that, just like I cannot not think of or like associate that with someone being racist towards our community, or not recognizing or like intentionally seeing our demographic and saying, okay, these people shouldn't have this or shouldn't have this kind of opportunity. And mm-hmm. I don't know if somebody was thinking about it or not, but it just, you realize how we, our community really gets impacted mm-hmm. By decisions like that. So fortunately, people were able to rally around, people signed some petitions and brought people together, and we advocated for the nets to be put back in. Mm-hmm. But you see some of these things and you can't, like, you have to recognize it for what it is. Mm-hmm. It is some of our systemic racism issues at play. Mm-hmm. And our community is trying really hard to work against that.
Wow, thank you for sharing that story. It's stories like these that I believe the community needs to learn more about, because a lot of people don't know about it. And it's also important to notice these things happening, because if you just thought, oh, it's just a basketball net, there's not much about it, but you saw that there's probably some form of racism attached to it. So I liked how, like, you guys all got together and were able to fight against it, and you're able to bring a change so that it brings light and awareness to it, to like make sure you really look deeper at things, because some things are not always just face value, but to look deeper and to fight for what you believe is your right to have. So thank you so much for sharing that. From what you've already said, you've shared a story, but could you illuminate or share another story or example of how systemic racism has affected your mental health, and how did you cope through the experience?
That's a good question. So I, as I've mentioned, I work in community development and with people. So in a job that's already very exhausting, mm-hmm. You encounter on a daily basis the struggles that people have, and sometimes it's really hard not to take it on personally. But also as a Black Ghanaian woman, there's also a lot of work that I do in engaging some of this community work, because like, we talk about systemic racism, we talk about some of the things that we encounter, and just knowing that I, as a Black woman, encounter that too. Like, I'm experiencing those hardships as I walk through the world, but I'm also walking alongside people as they encounter some of the injustices that they do. Mm-hmm. And for me, as I walk in those spaces, there's a constant reminder that those spaces were not created with you in mind. So whether it's like the immigration system, whether it's the immigration system or maybe Ontario Works, or just some of these like government institutions and spaces, like, they were just not created with some Black people, with people of color and racialized communities in mind. Mm-hmm. So when you walk into a space, there's a lot of adjusting that I do, there's a lot of adjusting that lots of people do, whether it's with my accent, or I realized recently that I very rarely say my last name, because I know that it's so hard for people to pronounce. And so I can introduce myself initially with my full name, but I just know that it will get dropped. Like, people will stop trying to say it, and I'm Scylla wherever I go, and that's where it ends, because I don't want to deal with people butchering my name or struggling to say it. So you just, like, you lose part of yourself in doing that. And we talk about some of the effects that COVID has had in our community, like, one of the things that has come out recently is how Black populations are particularly affected by COVID, and one of the reasons is that there are a lot of racialized people who are doing, I guess, what's this determined essential work. So they're doing a lot of service jobs. There are people, we're people who are doing tour driving buses, who are janitors or involved in the food service industry or cashiers. Mm-hmm. They're upfront doing that work of caring for people straight up. Mm-hmm. And in that same way, I think that community workers also do the same thing. And those people are overworked and underpaid. And we're working against the system to kind of walk beside people. And we're doing a lot of work from the inside to kind of dismantle some of these systemic racisms that we see. And it's exhausting. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's very, very exhausting. That has had a pretty big impact on my mental health. I have experienced, I've been burnt out. I've had lots of panic attacks. Earlier this year, I was depressed for a number of months because I was doing a lot of work of even just learning about how to engage some of this anti-racist work, mm-hmm. but then also doing it at the same time and experiencing it. And it became very, very overwhelming where I just kind of crashed. And in that time, I think what got me through was letting myself rest, and giving myself some grace, being patient on myself, and being able to set up some boundaries and say, okay, I can't do this anymore. I need to stop and make sure that I'm filling myself up so that I can pour out for others. But if I don't do that work, then I keep pouring out from an empty cup. Mm-hmm. So I think with the way that society kind of slowed down with COVID and we had to stay indoors, exactly, helped for me, because I was able to say, okay, I can't go out, but then I can be at home and do the things that fill me up and the things that give me energy. And the thing that I really appreciated through it was that my community that I work in, that I serve, didn't hold it against me. Like, they just kind of loved me through it and gave me the space to do that with no expectations. And that was really helpful to kind of get me back on my feet. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing your story and your vulnerabilities to that. I really like how your community also noticed that, yeah, you're a human being with emotions, and you also need your rest. So as you've been helping them, they've also helped you out by allowing you to get that rest that you needed. And do you have any self-care advice for community workers?
Yeah. Find the people and the spaces and boundaries and those things that you do that really give you rest and fill your soul. I think that we have the tendency to really romanticize burnout and you know, juggling multiple things at the same time and being so busy. And I think part of that is because, like, it feels good, right? We're doing very important work, walking alongside people, and when people feel helped and supported, that's very affirming. But, like, again, you can't do that. You can't keep doing that work well and with intention if you keep burning out.
Yeah.
So, like, find those things and really defend them like your life depends on it, because it really does. So if it's creating some boundaries, putting in place some boundaries around, like, when you work and when you take some time for yourself, you know, finding some friends or people that you can do things that you love with, take a hike or things like that, just very intentional activities that fill you up and that don't exhaust you. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing your self-care advice. I know a lot of people will gain a lot of knowledge from that. And before, you mentioned that you were a Master of Social Work student. So what do you plan on doing with the knowledge you gained from the program concerning systemic racism?
So I'm in my first year at Laurier, and there's a lot that you're learning at once. I think that in our first year, there's this strong reminder of all the problems there are in the world, and that can be overwhelming. But I think one thing that has really interested me in doing this is understanding how policy and how, like, impacting the policy and the laws that kind of govern and move things forward, how they impact people on the ground, and getting more of a knowledge of that so that you can influence the system from the inside out. For me, I've done a lot of work on the ground for a number of years, and there are a lot of times where you feel very helpless and feel like you're just kind of moving people along without making big change. And so I hope that, like, with my degree, whether it's building connections or building an understanding of how things work, a better understanding of how things work, we as, like, social workers can feel a bit more empowered and mobilized to make some changes happen. I think of, I'm from Ghana, as I mentioned before, and so when I think about some of the work that needs to be done, I think very much of my home context and what that looks like. And as I mentioned before, mental health is still very stigmatized in many communities in Ghana. And so I really want to be a part of, you know, working with people on the ground who are making that change and walking alongside them to ensure that our senses don't get left behind and our people don't get left behind.
Thank you for sharing that. I know you're going to do awesome with all the endeavors that you plan to do in the future.
I'm going to try.
Is there anything else you would like to add that we did not touch on?
I don't think so. I think that in general, social workers, just people in general, can talk. Like, you can say the right things, you can use the right lingo. I know I wouldn't be the first person who's talked about self-care and boundaries, and you learn about that in school and in practice all the time, but it doesn't necessarily always translate to action. And so I think that from, like, self-care all the way to activism and advocacy, like, we need to hold each other accountable to the things that are actually being done, and actually making sure that we're walking the talk, and it's not just, you know, some things that we say to sound good, that we as a community, of social workers, we're holding each other accountable, but just as a community of people in general, that we can make sure that we're checking in on each other and doing the things that we say we'll do.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Yes, because a lot of people can say words out of their mouth, but it's not really transforming into any type of action. Yeah,
absolutely.
But thank you so much for your time and for sharing your stories and your insights.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, Brenda.
You're very welcome. Have a good rest of the day.
You as well.
Hi, I'm Damien, one of the editors of the DCO Learning Forms podcast. Over the past year, we've been busy converting our Learning Forms series of videos into podcasts and thinking of new ways to continue delivering new and more in-depth content. We've seen the demand, and we're announcing our move to Pinecast and our new tip jar function. Please consider going to tips.pinecast.com/jar/distress and crisis Ontario and donating. And in return, we'll be recording new follow-up episodes on some of our most popular topics. These will be accessible for tippers only, and will help pay for travel, web hosting, etc. For the interim, you'll still be able to access existing content on both the Pinecast and Fireside feeds for free, but eventually we'll be making the switch to Pinecast. Thank you for your understanding.